WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.
This is WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Whether you're a child, teen, young adult, or just young at heart, we hope to show you how amazing classical music is. You probably listen to classical music all the time. It's everywhere. In your favorite cartoons, TV shows, movies, video games, and so much more. During this show, you will enjoy lots and lots of wonderful classical music. Now, let's join our hosts, Jamie and Pamela, as they get ready to take you on a musical journey into the world of classical music. Oh, we better go. I hear the orchestra getting ready for today's show.
Good morning, Pamela. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking, Jamie. How are you?
Very good. Very good. And who are our sponsors today?
Thank you for asking, Jamie. I would like to thank the Carter Family Charitable Trust for their generous support of the inaugural season of the Newport Music Festival Education and Outreach. And this week, I'd also like to thank Donald Crist for sponsoring this program.
That's great. I don't know about you, but I am really glad spring is here.
I agree, Jamie. The birds are singing, there are buds on the trees, and it seems like the whole world is waking from a dream.
Do you have a dream story for us today?
More like a fairy tale.
I like fairy tales. Are you going to read it to us?
Actually, Jamie, I found a beautiful fairy tale called The Song of the Unicorn, narrated by Jeremy Irons, the Oscar-winning actor.
Ooh, let's start.
Once upon a time, a young queen fell mysteriously ill. The people were sad, for she had a kind heart and was well loved throughout the land. The king was heartbroken. He sent for the healers and he sent for the priests, but none could find a cure. Not even the sweet air from the hills, which gently stirred the curtains of the queen's bedchamber, could cool her feverish brow. And this was not all. A curious silence had descended upon the land. Birds stopped singing, sheep broke loose from their shepherds and scattered to the hills, cows would not give milk, even the bees in the meadows were silent. Families closed their doors against the drifting mists. One night, when all hope seemed lost, a great white owl flew through the window of the royal bedchamber. He perched on the canopy bed and looked down gravely upon the queen. Then his eyes glowed brilliantly as he spoke to the king.
Listen well, your highness. Those you love best must be sent into the great forest to find the unicorn. These are gentle, healing creatures who can absorb poisons and drive away sickness. But only those who are pure of heart can approach them. I, sir, your children, Owen and Megan, I give you this coin necklace engraved with the picture of a lyre. It will protect your children and be a sign to those who can help. Tell them the unicorns live to the west, in the land of the old ones, where earth meets the sea.
Stretching his wings, the owl turned and disappeared, flying off into the midnight sky. The next morning, the king called his children to him and told them what had happened. One anxious glance at their frail mother warned them that time was desperately short. Kissing their parents goodbye, Owen and Megan rushed down into the courtyard. The castle was awakening with preparations for their journey. Their father had arranged an escort to the edge of his kingdom. To the beat of the drums, the royal procession moved out across the drawbridge, banners snapping in the brisk summer breeze. The children darted between the snorting horses and soldiers of their father's royal guard, then burst into the fields, now sparkling dew bright in the rising sun. When the royal guard could go no further, the children were left alone in an eerie stillness. Owen brought out his recorder and Megan her lute. Now, only an occasional human voice could be heard, sounding strangely hollow in the distance. That was when they heard the wooden wheels of a peddler's wagon coming up the road.
Why so sad, my little pigeons?
Oh, you wouldn't understand.
Try me. You learn a lot when you live for centuries. I might be able to help.
Centuries? Go away, old man. We do not wish to hear...
About your mother.
You know?
Aye, but if you do not wish to speak to me, then poof, I shall disappear.
Oh, let us pass, sir. We must find out Owen, please. There's no point in telling him.
As you please, my princess.
In the instant the children turned, the old man disappeared. Frightened and confused, they walked on. As the sun began to set, the footpaths narrowed. Crossing a bridge, Megan leaned over the wooden railing and stared down into the black, murky water. Owen caught up to her.
What has a bed but never sleeps, has a mouth but never eats. Owen, none of your riddles, not now. Come on, Maggie.
Oh, all right. Give me another clue.
What runs all day and runs all night. What never stops, though try as it might.
I give up. It's a river, don't you see?
Look, Owen. Over there, do you see it? Floating among the reeds.
It's a swan.
The mysterious white bird stretched its long neck upwards. Then it floated under the shadow of the bridge and disappeared. Megan shivered.
I have the strangest feeling that bird wanted to tell us something, but swans have no voice. 'Tis a sign. I know it.
Sing to it, Maggie. Maybe it will come out the other side.
The silver swan, who living had no note, when death approached, unlocked her silent throat.
First an owl, now a swan.
Leaning her breast upon the reedy shore, thus sang her first and last, and sang no more.
But the swan never came out from under the bridge. Owen picked up a single white feather floating on the dark water. He placed it in his pocket and ran ahead to his sister. Together, they plunged into the dense forest. As the day wore on, thick mud slowed their steps. Pointed branches scratched their arms and legs. For 2 days and 2 nights, Owen and Megan traveled this way, their hopes fading with every step. It was then they heard it.
In the middle of the forest, where did they come from?
Before them rose the grey stone walls of an immense brooding monastery. Fierce carved animals guarded its entrance. Ugly gargoyles stared down accusingly from the roof. Finding the wooden doors ajar, Owen and Megan slipped inside, trembling with fear. They did not notice the little white mouse which hastily darted under their legs and into the church. Inside, strange, soft music welcomed them. As their eyes grew used to the darkness, they could make out the hooded shapes of monks walking slowly through the cloister. They pressed themselves against a cold stone pillar and listened.
And what, pray tell, might we have here? Children! Come into the candlelight that I can see you better.
Please, Father, we come from the kingdom of Cornel. We need your help.
Why then, lad, you are a long way from home.
Our mother is ill. We've been sent to find a unicorn to make her better. Do you know where they live?
A unicorn, you say? Are you so certain they exist?
Come on, Owen. I do not think the father believes in unicorns.
Nonsense, my dears. 'Tis a mighty small mind that cannot find room for a unicorn or two.
So you can help us?
Son, can you read a map?
I'm the king of maps.
Good. Then let me ask Father Gregory for a wee bit of candle wax, and I shall draw you that map to Merlin's cave. Strange man, our Father Gregory. Forever doodling on parchment with little dots and lines. Music, he calls it. As if you can write down sounds and read them back like a book.
Father, an owl brought this necklace to us. Do you know what it means?
An owl, you say? Let me see. Why, it is a lyre. Merlin's sign.
I knew it.
But let me warn you. Merlin demands no payment for his help, but he will need some encouragement. A riddle or a song, perhaps. Something to lighten the heart of a wizard. Now, off to bed. I'll dim these candles. You leave at dawn.
Owen, hand me my lute. Maybe we should turn back. Do you wish we'd never come? Merlin could be anywhere.
Shh, Megan. Think of Mother. Look, a little mouse. I wonder where he came from.
So, little mousy, what do you take to the greatest sorcerer in all the land?
I know! What is it? The more you take, the more you leave behind.
Please, go to sleep, Owen.
Footsteps, think!
Shh, they'll hear you. How many more must we take to save our mother?
Meggie, play me the riddle lullaby, the one she used to sing to us when we were little.
I gave my love a cherry without a stone. I gave my love a chicken without a bone. I gave my love a ring without an end. I gave my love a no crying.
Now the how part.
A cherry when it's pitted, it has no stone. A chicken in the egg, it has no bone. A ring when it's rolling, it has no end. A baby when it's sleeping, has no.
Meggie, if I shut my eyes, I can almost smell the salt air. We are close to the sea, I know it. Close to Merlin.
And unicorns. I wonder if they can sing.
The next morning, Owen and Megan followed a faint footpath leading west. After a few hours, the trees parted around a small village. It was a feast day, and the roads were lined with wooden tables piled high with food. Megan brought some hard toffee from an old man who seemed strangely familiar. Could it be the vanishing peddler by her father's castle? She worked her tongue into the candy and winked at Owen, perched atop a low stone fence. Together, they joined the ancient round.
Summer is a company, summer is a company. This eat and blow with meat and spring gets food and you with meat. Sing a cool and you.
As the dance continued, some villagers pointed out the path to Merlin's cave, but none would go with them. their friendly faces clouded as they warned, "Take care, for danger lurks in the western lands. Remember, Merlin is not always to be trusted." The children plunged bravely back into the forest.
Meg, I've got another riddle for Merlin.
This better be good. While at first I seem mysterious, when explained, am nothing serious. What am I?
It's what you love to do. It's a riddle. Am I right?
Ah, you must have heard it before.
Shh! Look, up in the tree. Could that be the owl that visited Father?
Where? Oh, never mind. He's flown away.
The children walked on again, following the map they had been given. At last, they came upon a low sloping hill covered with bare trees. Bent, twisted branches grabbed at their clothing, frightening them both. Inching forward, they discovered an opening partly covered with vines. It was a cave, and from within they could hear music.
A lyre!
Hello? Is anybody here?
Well, it certainly seems you are. Come in, little ones. Don't be afraid. Careful, dare not sit on the dog. He will talk your head off once you get him started. Caleb, off that chair. We have royal visitors, and one who sings very well, I dare say.
You heard me singing.
You know who we are?
Of course, little ones. 'Tis not so difficult as you might think.
Do we know you, sir? Your voice sounds familiar.
Highly doubtful, my dear. Though you learn a lot if you live for centuries.
Meggie!
The peddler said exactly the same thing.
Shh. Sir?
Listen. See, the cave is greeting you too. 'Tis a magic cave and great company to a lonely wizard.
A cave that talks?
'Tis a special language, but you will understand it soon enough. Now, answer me this riddle, young lad. What has rivers but no fish swim? Has many a town but ne'er an inn?
Rivers, towns,
Think, my boy, think. 'Tis a map, which I see you have cleverly hidden in the folds of your cloak, young miss.
How did you know?
Do not doubt my powers, little ones. I can feel an itch before you feel it. I can think a thought before you think it. And I can sing a song before you sing it, which you will do for me tonight, fair princess.
But...
After you tell me why you are here. Come, Merlin waits. Speak up.
Sir, I will tell you why you should help us, because she is our mother, and we love her very much.
Really, my dears, that's only natural.
Because she is a queen?
Oh, children, even a lowly wizard is more powerful than any queen.
Because she sings beautifully?
Ah, continue, sweetest one.
Because we might teach you a new riddle?
Oh, now you definitely have me interested. Out with it, lad, quickly.
'Tis difficult.
Come, my boy, you're speaking to Merlin.
I was, but am not, and never shall be again. What am I?
Blasted. Very clever. Tell me.
Not before you tell us where the unicorns live.
Unfair. Young man, I knew you were going to say that. Your thoughts clutter the air before you. Now scratch that knee of yours and get us some dry wood. Nettle soup for dinner. And then we shall consult the fire to unveil the secrets of the unicorn.
Soon a lively fire was burning. Supper finished, Megan stroked the soft ears of Caleb while Owen cleaned their bowls in a small sandpit. They settled to watch Merlin's hooded shadow flickering wildly on the cave walls.
Come, dancing flames, give us your light. Warm these walls and banish the night. My royal children, attend with care. Come journey to the future, if you dare. The birth of music will appear from silence to all this. Come, draw near. Can a child find music as yet unborn and steal the heart of the unicorn?
Megan nudged Owen's leg and pointed to the wall. Where moss had once covered the rocks, shapes were forming, now glowing a strange green light.
Instruments!
Some were familiar. They had seen them often in their father's court. Shawms, sackbuts, crumhorns, lutes, pipes and tambours. But what were these others? Strange shapes calling out from the echoing walls.
Ah, so you see them. 'Tis a good sign. Let me introduce you to some friends of mine. The cello, violin, clarinet, oboe, trombone. Some of these beautiful instruments will not be heard for 1,000 years hence, but they will sing. One day they will sing with splendor.
Tonight, Merlin. Can we hear them tonight?
I cannot say, for I am not their master. 'Tis up to you.
Us?
Aye, my boy. They have been watching and listening ever since you entered this cave. It seems that music is to be your test.
Music test?
Aye, 'tis simple. If you wish to change the future, then you must foretell it. Megan, show us the future of music. Here tonight.
But how?
You are the musician, my princess. Reveal the unicorn song, and your mother will be saved.
Maggie, you could do this. Oh, I don't know how to begin. That sound.
Listen to Merlin, 3 times visitor to the earth and keeper of her secrets. He comes when times are dark to reveal the past and lead us into the light. Yes, come, my children, to the day before yesterday and the year before that, to a time of broken swords and whispering moons and animals that talked.
What is that?
The birth of music. When notes were born of the silence, then carried on the wind, 10,000 years ago. When the island of Atlantis basked in warm blue seas and people played their pipes to celebrate the harvest. Until one terrible day, a volcano on the island exploded. A huge wave tossed whales about like herrings, and boats were never seen again. The city of Atlantis sank with a moan into its watery grave. Some say you can still hear the bells tolling beneath the ocean waves. See how brightly glows the lyre on yonder wall? From faraway Greece came the instrument which never tells the truth.
Maggie, another riddle.
So sweet, so passionate was the lyre that it was forbidden for hundreds of years. Listen carefully, and you can hear the ancient music. For over 1,000 years, music lived this half-life. Then it stirred. Monasteries began to ring with chant, and men struggled to write down the notes. Traveling musicians brought their instruments from faraway lands, the lute from Asia, pipes from Africa, the harp from Europe. All the elements take their place, and music is ready to move on into the future. Follow me.
This takes me back to the medieval times with all kinds of instruments and magic.
Can you name some of those instruments, Jamie?
The lute, which is like a guitar,
mm-hmm.
and drums mm-hmm. and a recorder.
Okay.
Oh, Pamela, can we just get back to the story?
Of course, Jamie. I love the story of King Arthur and Merlin.
What happens next? Is there a unicorn?
Let's listen.
Merlin took up his harp. Entranced, Megan followed his notes down, down, as together they rode the gentle stream of music. They played the past, a carol from the monastery, an ancient lullaby, the silver swan, Megan's riddle song, then forward into a tune that seemed strangely familiar.
Magnificent bark. And Mozart, such beauty.
Maggie, what do you hear?
Quiet. We're moving forward in time.
Even the mighty Beethoven.
Maggie, where are you? Don't leave me.
Owen, this is it. The unicorn song. I would never have dreamed it. Itself.
But Megan was no longer playing. The music released her, and she collapsed against the dirt wall. It was the endless depths of the cave that eerily played on.
The future of music. Who would have thought a child could dream such beauty? Heed this well, my children. When you next hear this music, you will know you have succeeded in your quest. Megan, your brother may be skilled in the telling of riddles, but your music has the power to save a queen.
Just then, they heard thundering towards them the most magnificent white stallion they had ever seen. Upon its back rode a tall man, regally dressed in silver armor. A great scarlet cape flowed from his shoulders over the rump of his horse.
My lord, what an honor!
Oh, up on your feet, Merlin.
Is that?
My liege, let me present Owen and Megan, Prince and Princess of Cornham. Children, King Arthur, Keeper of the Magic Sword Excalibur, Lord of the Round Table, your once and future king.
Why are they here?
Sir, these children are looking to find the unicorn.
Your Highness, where do they live?
Oh, dear child. They live on the island of Avalon, a place of ancient magic and once a source of goodness throughout this land. There also lives my sister Morgan, the Lady of the Lake.
Evil fairy queen.
Hush, Merlin, you knew her not as a child. So lively, so filled with laughter. But something happened, I know not what. Morgan became bitter and jealous, wanting power over lands that were not rightly hers.
You mean ours? The kingdom of Cornham?
Aye, and Camelot as well. She has set her court at Avalon, hoping to steal the magic. Only the unicorns remain, beautiful reminders of what could have been.
Unicorns?
Morgan wants the power of the unicorn, but she can never have it, any more than I can have it, or Merlin here.
But Why, sir, you are a great king, and Merlin is a great sorcerer.
A grown man can never capture a unicorn. These gentle beasts will come only to a young girl, sitting in a forest clearing and singing.
Maggie, you could do that!
I don't know.
Owen, help your sister onto my horse, then climb on yourself. We shall meet on the shore surrounding Avalon. My sister is about to get visitors.
The children struggled onto Arthur's massive steed. The king settled them tight. Then, with a flourish, he spurred the horse on its way. Gathering speed, the children could feel the animal's powerful muscles pounding beneath them. It gave them hope at last. Exhausted, first one, then the other fell asleep. The next thing they felt was Arthur tenderly lifting them down to the ground. He pointed into the mist.
You must wait here for a boat to take you to the island. But I warn you, if you do not believe in the powers of Avalon, you will be seized aboard a black barge and disappear forever. But if your heart is pure, you will see a golden ship sailing toward you. It will take you to my sister, the Lady of the Lake, and the unicorns you desire.
As the king rode away, a haunting stillness hung between the children. A light rain fell, sparkling the surface of the lake. Owen lit a small fire by the water's edge. Megan huddled close to its meager flame and picked up her lute.
You give it food and it lives. You give it water and it dies.
What?
It's a fire! Never understand.
I, Owen, I understand.
Megan began to sing. She sang of the long, difficult days and her dreams of being back home. The white owl watched worriedly from a nearby tree.
Western wind, when will you blow? The smoring down can rain. I long to be at home once more and rest in my bed again.
Don't think about it, Maggie. We'll find our way home.
Upside down and inside out. I don't know where we are. Or when.
Do you think Merlin is out there somewhere?
It's impossible to know, but we will finish this. With his help or without it.
Owen thrust a cold hand into his pocket and drew out the swan's feather. Brushing it thoughtfully across his cheek, he passed it to his sister. As she reached for it, the wind grabbed hold and tossed it high into the sky. There, it became two, then four, then hundreds of white swirling feathers. They bound together and descended a soft, warm blanket of down. The children wrapped themselves in it and were soon asleep. The rain couldn't touch them now. The greatest wizard of all had sent the magical blanket. When he saw they were asleep, the owl swooped down and nestled there to keep watch over his young friends. But someone had seen their fire reflected in the black waters of the lake.
Owen, wake up! What is that dark shape out on the water?
Tis a ship, coming closer.
Quickly, what color is it? Black or gold?
I can't see. The fog is too thick.
So smoothly sailed the ship upon the water that no wake flowed out behind. Sails of finest silk filled with an invisible breeze. The boat's prow was high and richly inlaid with gold and pearl. On board stood three women. Each held a staff with a silver orb. For the moon, for Avalon, for the unicorn. Looking steadily at their visitors, they slowly raised their staffs. And suddenly, Owen and Megan were on board. No gangplank, no eager hands to help them up. They were just there. The children glanced uneasily at each other. The magic was taking hold. They were on their way to Avalon.
Oh no, do they get to Avalon? Do they find the unicorn?
Okay, Jamie, we should just listen right now and find out.
Where are they taking us?
Not so loud, Owen. We're going to the palace, I think. Up there, on the hill.
It's nothing but a circle of giant standing stones.
Open to the sky, look! You can see light inside them, as if they're made of
ice.
Hold my hand, Owen. They're taking us into the center of the circle.
As the children passed between the great stones, everything exploded in color and movement. Flaming torches blazed from the walls. Dogs nosed about between long marble tables. One hovered especially close to Megan. He had a strangely familiar look in his eye. Servants brought in great platters of food, pickled eels, roasted rabbits stuffed with raisins and nuts, and a wild boar with a fresh apple between its jaws. Megan's mouth watered. The queen was about to speak.
Ah, beautiful children. How pleased I am to meet you at last. Come, do not be afraid.
Your Highness, I am Princess Megan, and this is my brother, Prince Owen. We come from Cornham.
Yes, I've been watching your progress here. Prince Owen, I see you wear the sign of Merlin around your neck. Do you think he can protect you here?
Ma'am, we are looking for a unicorn. Do they live on this island?
Certainly, child. Further inland. Pray tell, how do you intend to capture one of these creatures, when whole armies of soldiers cannot bring me a single one? Never mind. For what purpose do you want this unicorn?
Your Highness, we have been told they can cure our mother.
Nonsense, my girl. Only a powerful queen such as myself can grant such a healing. Although, if I decide to help, you must do one thing for me.
Which is?
You must bring a unicorn here to me. I should like to stable it in a place of honor here at my castle as a novelty for those at my court. Yes, after you do this, I shall make your mother well.
I, Your Highness, if that is your wish.
Then it is settled. Ladies, get these poor children some food and drink to see to their comfort and warmth. Let the celebration continue, for the little dears have finally arrived.
The next day, the children were led into the woods. Although the air was still, they could feel movement around them. Gradually, they could make out soft white shapes with gleaming tails floating among the trees. The forest was alive with soft nickerings and restless hooves on padded soil. Music filled the air, so transparent that the notes seemed to hang like diamonds on the trees. This was music born of mystery and magic of light and air. It was time for Megan to take her place. She pulled away from Owen's embrace, brushing a lock of red hair from his eyes.
Don't be afraid, Owen. I feel Mother is with us.
Her brother silently took off the owl's necklace and pressed it into his sister's hand.
For luck, Maggie. Merlin will watch over you.
Sunlight streamed through the high treetops, lighting an area of grassy green. Everything was so bright, Megan felt as if the sun had moved a little closer to the earth. Bravely, she stepped into the center of the clearing. She brushed her fingers across the strings of her lute. Deliberately, one of the gentle creatures turned. Except for a spiraled horn, he looked much like her horses at home, shocking but somehow beautiful. He looked compassionately at the young princess playing to him and dared to move closer. Megan remained calm, concentrating on the music. As she played, the sunlight dimmed and blustery winds began to swirl around the grove. The other unicorns huddled together, moving in a worried pack, slowly circling Megan and the lone unicorn. The earth was spinning too quickly. Her legs were becoming weaker. She struggled against the blowing wind as the sky threatened a deep bluish black. Her long hair whipped at her face. She looked desperately to the edge of the clearing and saw Owen leaning into the wind.
Be careful, Maggie!
Gently, child. Don't scare it away. Attach the golden halter to its mane and bring it to me. Now!
Megan frantically drew air into her lungs. Weakly, she unhooked the halter from her shoulder and held it in front of the unicorn. Ever faithful, he did not run. His blue eyes shone with an unwavering trust. In the eternity of this storm, time stood still. Peace and reassurance flowed into Megan's heart, and in that moment she knew what she had to do. Her hand reached up as if to attach the halter when Owen cried out a second time.
Maggie! I know, Owen! I shall not do it!
Child, I command you to bring the animal to me!
Never! What could you possibly want with him? He will die if he's not free, and so will my mother! See? I am putting the halter down on the grass!
Blasted! 'Tis so close to my grasp! Huntsman, kill the animal! And the girl, if you must. I want that horn!
Owen had already seen the danger. Morgan's huntsmen had taken their positions between the trees. King Arthur was right. His sister was not to be trusted. Her huntsmen were going to kill the unicorn for its horn. The archers spelled death for his mother and his sister. He cleared his throat to speak.
Stop! In the name of King Cornam!
The archers took no notice. Angrily, the white owl flew down and landed on Owen's shoulders. Tingling ran down his arms. Power surged into his voice.
Halt, I say!
It was too late. 20 arrows were loosed at Megan and the unsuspecting animal.
Maggie!
Megan turned to see a wall of arrows headed towards her. As she closed her eyes for the terrible last moment, a miracle. The arrows deflected upwards as if guided by some unseen hand, away from Megan, away from the unicorn. As they pierced the storm clouds, sunlight burst once again down into the glade. Perched on Owen's shoulder, the owl stared accusingly at the archers. The men looked confused, then slowly lowered their bows and dropped to their knees before the young prince. Owen seemed much taller than before. Megan lay still in the grass. The unicorn, which had stayed close by her during the attack, slowly knelt down before her. He laid his head trustingly upon her lap. Megan sat up, weaving her fingers into his mane.
My sweet friend, how beautiful you are. You risked everything for me. I cannot repay you, but I can give you one thing. Your freedom.
The unicorn got to its feet. He bent his head and touched the strings of Megan's lute with his horn. For a moment, the forest echoed with its brilliant sound. And then music flooded once more into the grove from someplace far away. At that moment, the animal pressed even closer. He seemed to be looking for something. Megan understood.
Necklace. Here it is.
Gracefully, the unicorn lowered his head a second time. As his horn touched the coin, Megan felt its warmth spread through her body. She was no longer frightened and reached out to touch the magic bone.
At least it's gone. Does this mean that Mama will be better? Thank you. Oh, my sweet unicorn, thank you.
She hugged the unicorn fiercely, burying her nose in its neck, breathing in its warm, musky smell.
You are free to go now, but I cannot say goodbye. Here, take this necklace. It comes from a very dear friend of yours, and it will protect you, always.
Owen ran up to his sister. Together, they watched the unicorns move off and dissolve beneath the sun-warmed trees. Above them, a white owl rode the wind. Then he, too, disappeared in the bright blue sky.
Owen, turn around. It cannot be!
Where Morgan's palace had stood proud and grim, only blocks of ice remained, now melting in the sunlight. In its place was their own castle, welcoming them from the hilltop. With their last bit of energy, the children ran across the fields, kicking their feet through the tall, cool grass and onto the drawbridge, lined with cheering servants. In their parents' sunlit bedchamber, Owen and Megan saw a most remarkable sight. Their father was seated on the bed, happily feeding a bowl of broth to their mother. Now looking stronger, she told them about her strange dreams of unicorns and two children who had braved the forest to save their mother.
This is so beautiful. I want an owl necklace too.
It makes me so sad, Jamie, that they'll never see the unicorn again, but perhaps in their dreams.
It is spring and magic can happen anytime, anywhere, Pamela.
Thank you so much, Jamie. And thank you to our sponsors, the Carter Family Charitable Trust and Donald Crist.
See you next time, everyone.
See you next time.
Wow, that was so fun. I wonder what we'll hear next time. Thank you for listening to WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Gotta go. The concert hall doors are about to close. See you next time.
WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.